was kind of joking a little bit in the breakfast line this morning about preaching and trying to come up with different preaches as far as preaching messages for Easter that you haven't preached before. Because a lot of y'all take notes, and you know what I've preached over the last 10, 15 years. I've seen you do it. I've seen them come out of church. Brother Tony said, well, you preached that on such and such a date. This is kind of a different type Easter message. And I need you to pay attention and really think about what I'm going to preach this morning. Because you don't know when your time's coming.
Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 4, verse 24. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. God, we love you. Thank you for a great day so far, God. And Lord, like we said at the end of the sunrise service, the S-U-N's up, the S-O-N got up, and it's going to be a great day. Thank you for what you've done. And God, help us over the next few minutes, God, just to be able to expound on this in a way, God, that people will think about resurrection morning or Easter morning a little bit different. God, if there's somebody here that's not saved, help them to realize that this day is the day of salvation. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess I could title this what Easter really means or what Resurrection Sunday really means, but the title that the Lord gave me is what the resurrection proves about our sin debt. What the resurrection proves about our sin debt. You see, Easter is not about just coming to church and wearing a pink suit and coming to church and dressing up as nice as we can, coming to church and having a good breakfast and coming to church and shouting it out because Jesus is alive. All that's great. That is fantastic. I'm glad that we can do that, but that's not what Easter is really about. That's not what the resurrection is real about. The resurrection, the cross is where Jesus paid our debt.
Amen.
Amen. The resurrection proves that the debt was accepted.
Amen.
Think about that. See, you know, I have to keep up with a lot of stuff as far as doing my taxes. So when I go somewhere and I eat a meal, or I said, can I get the receipt? Can I get the receipt? Can I get the receipt? See, I can go to that tax man all I want to, Brother Ronnie, and tell him, says, I did this and I did that, but if you ain't got proof, nothing counts. The resurrection proves that our sin debt's been paid. Amen. Because like I said Wednesday night, and I'm going to get to the message in a minute. Like I said Wednesday night, what was the last thing Jesus said on the cross? It is finished.
Amen.
Amen. So the work was done on Friday afternoon. The work was finished on Friday afternoon. When he got out of the ground on Sunday morning, that was just a receipt saying everything was done exactly like it needed to be done. Amen.
Yeah.
Somebody ought to shout right there, because it's going to get quiet here in a minute. The empty tomb is proof all we need. Let's look at what our sin debt really was. Number one, it was a real debt.
Amen.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, and forgive us our debts. There's none righteous, no, not one. I don't care how good you think you are. You had a debt that you could not pay. You had a debt that you could not pay. And you got to understand something, it was a real debt. The Bible says for the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
The wages, that's what we get for work. That's what we had a debt. And nobody's exempt from this. Every last one of us, we owed something that we could not pay. It was a real debt. It was a personal debt. It was my sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us in here going out of this. You got to understand that none of us in here can get out of this. It is a personal debt. It's also a massive debt. It was not only my sin and Melvin's sins and Larry's. It was the sins of the whole world. You got to understand something. Somebody said, why did it get dark when Jesus was on the cross? Jesus was paying a price for every soul that was ever going to live, every soul that had lived, every soul that was going to live after the cross. Jesus was paying a price that only he could pay. And God turned his back on his son at that point. Amen. It was a moral debt. Not just a legal debt. We were sinning against a holy God. It's one thing if I do Brother Robert wrong. It's one thing if I do Brother Ed wrong. But it's a whole different thing when I do God wrong. It's a whole different thing when I sin against a holy God. When I sin against a God, I'm talking about that knows absolutely no sin, that knows absolutely no wrong. And you got to understand something. When he looks down and he looks at us, the only thing that is going to stop his wrath from falling on us is the blood of Jesus. So it was not only a legal debt, it was a moral debt, but it was also a mounting debt. Every day we lived, Wes, the sin debt got bigger. Think about it like this. All your sins, Brother Tony, every day that you live without forgiveness was compounded interest. Amen. Let me go ahead and stop right there. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I'm preaching to you. You got to understand something. Every day you go without forgiveness, that sin debt compounds. It gets bigger and it gets bigger. It's a mounting debt. Interest is building, and it's also a mandatory debt. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. It had to be paid. God will not overlook sin. God cannot overlook sin. The holiness of God will not allow him to overlook our sin. So when you and I have sin in our life, Christian, let me go ahead and stop right there with you too. I'm preaching to you too. When Christians have sin in our life, you better get it under the blood. Hey, 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've got to make sure that that sin debt is under the blood. That's the only payment that was accepted. It was an impossible debt. Think about that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Good works don't do it. You can come to church and you can get baptized, like the old preacher said, you can get baptized till the tadpoles know you by name, and that's not going to help you one bit. You can join the church and everybody think you all right. That's not going to help you one bit. If you're not saved, if you're not covered by the blood, I'm telling you right now, you will not make it into heaven. Good works don't cut it. Oh, there's going to be people that stand in the judgment. The Bible tells us this. There's going to be people standing in the judgment and say, Lord, we've done many works, and we've cast out demons in thy name. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. So good works won't do it. So what the resurrection proves about our sin debt. Now think about this. Now, some of y'all need to start smiling a little bit. Now you start saying amen a little bit more. It's going to get a little bit better now. Amen. Amen. One, the sin debt is paid in full. That's what the resurrection proves about it. Hey, if one sin remained, if one thing had remained that Jesus did not pay, he would still be in that grave. But glory to God, you got to understand, the Bible says, and I've been over there where they say that Jesus' tomb, it's empty. There ain't nobody in there. You can go to Muhammad's grave. He's still there. You can go to Buddha's grave, and he's still there. You can go to all these other people's graves. They're still there. But you go to the grave over there in the garden in Jerusalem, Jesus is not there. Where's Jesus at? He ain't lost, glory to God. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. Hey, the sin debt's been paid in full. There's good news this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, this morning you got sin in your life, guess what? Somebody covered the bill. It was Jesus. I couldn't do it because I'm just as guilty as everybody else in here. Billy Graham couldn't do it because he was just as guilty as everybody else in here. The Apostle Paul couldn't do it because he was just as guilty as everybody else in here. But there's one name whereby man must be saved, and that name is Jesus. So the sin debt has been paid in full. It also proves that God accepted the payment. All the animals before that had died was a temporary substitute. When Jesus, you got to get a picture. When Jesus died on the cross and they placed his body in the tomb, the Bible tells us, and if you study that, that Jesus himself, as the high priest, goes in where the Holy of Holies was, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and Jesus placed his blood on that mercy seat. And all those animals that had died before, all those animals that had sacrificed in the Old Testament, thousands upon thousands upon thousands, that was just a temporary substitute. But when the blood of Jesus touched the mercy seat, God yelled out, satisfied, satisfied, is I accept this. That's the only thing God's going to accept as far as our sin debt goes.
Amen.
You can give all the gold you got. That won't cut it. The only thing God's looking for is the blood.
Amen.
Has it been applied to your life?
Amen.
Has it been applied to your life? The resurrection proves that God accepted the payment. The resurrection also proves that our justification is complete. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. How many, if you don't understand what that means that you can live right now just as if you had never sinned at all. This was, I'm not talking about a pardon. A pardon is something that somebody got a sign for you. A pardon is, but I'm talking about just when God looks down at Tony right now, it's almost God, like God is looking down at Tony as a newborn baby, had never sinned, never had a bad thought, never done a bad thing, never said a bad word. That's what justification means. And that's what the resurrection proves about our sin, that it's been paid in full, and that's how God looks at us now. Albert Barnes says this, what is justification? It is the declared purpose of God to regard and treat those sinners who believe in Jesus Christ as if they had not sinned on the grounds, on the merits of one man, Jesus.
Amen.
Just as if you had never sinned. It also proves that death has no more claim over us. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, amen, but for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It proves, hey, our debt has been fully paid, and you got to understand something. Our debt that you had was leading to death. For the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. We understand by studying the Bible that Adam and Eve sinned. The Bible says, and they died. Physically, they started to die. But spiritually, you got to understand something. There's two deaths that the Bible talks about. For the Christian, we only have to face one. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. But for the lost person, there's two. The Bible talks about a second death. And thank God our debt's been paid.
Amen.
Amen. We don't have to worry about death. The resurrection also proves that we are no longer condemned. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this, There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We are not condemned. We are not condemned to sin. We are not condemned to hell. We are not condemned to separation from God. Thank God for the resurrection. The resurrection also proves that our future is secure. Now, I'm Free Will Baptist to the bone, but you got to understand something. When you get saved, if you do what you're supposed to, heaven will be your home.
Amen.
Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean? That means, hey, I'm gonna make mistakes. I'm gonna fall. I'm gonna stumble. I realize that. I feel like the Apostle Paul sometimes, brother. I feel like I'm the chiefest of sinners.
Amen.
I do. I feel like I'm the chiefest of sinners. And let me tell you something. You don't know how many times I've had to get on this altar right here, right by myself in this church, and say, Lord, please forgive me for being stupid.
Amen.
Maybe y'all not. Maybe, hopefully y'all don't have to worry about that. But I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes I have to get down here and say, Lord, please forgive me for being stupid.
Amen.
But if I fall, I'm going to make sure I fall in the right direction. Amen. See, the resurrection proves all this. And I want you to kind of think, I want you to get a thought in your mind. Every one of us are guilty. Every one of us are guilty. Taylor, come on. Amen. Every one of us. Now get a picture in your mind. You walk into a courtroom and you know without a doubt you're guilty. You know without a doubt you're guilty. You know without a doubt there is no need even putting up a defense, because you know it's not going to do any good. They've got all the goods against you. I mean, it's a stacked deck. You cannot get out of this. Your sentence is either going to be life or your sentence is going to be death. You know it's coming. I thought about it, just a side note. I thought about it and I told Melvin, I said, what would we do if we knew we were going to die in a couple of days? What would you do if you knew you were going to die in a couple of days? You know what Jesus did? He washed feet. But you know you're guilty. You know that, and you deserve what you're getting ready to get. You deserve it. You stand there, and just before the judge casts down the sentence, somebody steps up and says, I'll take his place. I'll take his place. You look over, and there's a man there with scars all over his body, with tears running down his face, and he looks deep into your eyes and says, I love you. And just like Olivia sang the song, I'm doing this for you. You deserve everything. You deserve the full wrath of God to fall on you. We deserve hell. You listen to what I'm saying. We deserve hell. I'm talking about that place of torment. We deserve that because of what we've sinned, how we've sinned against a holy God. That's what we deserve. But guess what? When I got saved, y'all have heard me say this before. When I got saved, Brother Robert, I was just trying to stay out of hell. That preacher preached, and I'm just telling you, I didn't want to go to hell, Brother Barry. I knew it was real. I knew the Bible was real. I went down to that altar, and all I was praying, Lord, save me. I don't want to go to hell. Lord, save me. I don't want to have to burn in torment. Lord, save me. I don't want to have to go through all that. And glory to God, he saved me. And if it ended right there, and I'd have missed hell, it'd have been worth it. But my God, look how good he's been to us. Amen. Since then. Now you listen. You're guilty. If you're here this morning and you're saved, praise God, you ought to be able to praise the Lord this morning. But if you're here this morning and you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're not saved, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that if something happened right now, you could not go to heaven, you're guilty. You are guilty. But there's somebody that loves you that took your place. If you would bow your heads with me this morning. If you would, let's stand. Lord, we love you and we come to you in Jesus' name.